This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's one of the most storied rivalries in American sports.
Luskatov from Kubi makes it a three-point lead for the Celtics. This is Huntley. Stolen by Ramsey. Ramsey to Jones. And he's fouled. And the Garden is going crazy. A big steal by the Celtics and a big bucket by Sam Jones.
And that rivalry is, of course, that East Coast-West Coast hardwood throwdown between the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers. We just heard the call from late in Game 7 of the 1962 Celts-Lakers matchup. That one went into overtime, and the Celts prevailed. The two teams meet again for the NBA Championship Series starting tomorrow night in Los Angeles, and it's the 12th time the two teams have faced off in a championship series. Last time was in 2008 when the Celtics took the series, but Kobe Bryant and the Lakers are currently defending champs since they beat the Orlando Magic last year. We've got an interactive timeline of this rivalry on our website. It's worth checking out, so go to wbur.org/Boston. And joining us now is our own Bill Littlefield. Well, I call him our own, but technically he belongs to NPR's Only a Game.
Oh, hey. We're all on the same team.
Hey, Bill.
Good to see you again.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. I mean, what's your favorite Celts-Lakers moment? And does Rajon versus Kobe have that same sparkle, that same epic feel as Bird versus Magic? Are we on the cusp of another dynastic rivalry in basketball? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or comment online at wbur.org/Boston. Okay, Bill, let me just start off with the simple question, but I would always love to hear your answer on these things.
I like the simple question.
don't want to make you work too hard at the beginning here. But what is it about Celts Lakers and this rivalry that just makes us love it so much?
I think any rivalry that has a history is great fun, and people love to do precisely what you were talking about a few minutes ago. Okay, we have Bird Magic in one era. Is the current era, does it measure up in terms of what this rivalry and these series and these games and these championships have given us in the past? And it's a father-son, father-daughter, mother-son thing. I mean, it's a Celtics-Lakers, heck, it goes back to grandparents at this point. You know, you played a tape from a game in the 60s. So this is fun. It's fun to have something more than just another game, even if the game determines the champion.
All right, well, let's pull in another voice into this conversation. He's Gary Washburn. He's a sports writer for the Boston Globe. And I hear he is out in sunny Los Angeles today. Gary Washburn, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good to be here.
All right. Let me just ask you quickly, Gary. I mean, both teams are historical powerhouses based on the dozen times they've met in the NBA Championship Series. But for those who don't know so far, who's got the bragging rights in terms of number of series actually won?
The Celtics have won 9 of the 11 previous series. So the Lakers did not win a series against the Celtics in 1985. And by then, the Celtics had won 8. Had won 9. So, you know, the Celtics have kind of been the dominant team in this rivalry. They won 8, and they won the 9th time over the Lakers 2 years ago. So the Celtics won the first 8, and the Lakers over the recent times have been the better organization, better team, more championships and playoff appearances. But the Celtics have had a resurgence over the last 2 years. And now back to their old self.
Yeah, it looks like there's sort of a like an ebb and flow in terms of powerhouse status amongst both teams. But let's reach back in time a little bit, Bill, because you mentioned that it's the rivalry dates back to parents and even grandparents.
Oh, sure.
Back in the 60s, when the Lakers were actually the Minnesota Lakers.
Yes, I have friends who say that doesn't count. but it does if you're a Lakers fan and you're looking at, you know, good players and games won and championships accrued and that sort of stuff. They like to count it.
And we here in Boston were blessed with the names of such greats as Bob Cousy and Sam Jones. They won more than half a dozen titles as a team, the Celtics did. And I just have to throw this piece of sound in here, even though it's not exactly from a final game. It's from the 1965 Eastern Conference Final, Game 7 versus the 76ers. Here's the Celtics call by Johnny Most.
Greer putting the ball in play. He gets it out deep, and Havlicek steals it over to Sam Jones. Havlicek stole the ball. It's all over. It's all over. Johnny Havlicek is being mobbed by the
I just love listening to that.
And you could have played Henderson stole the ball, and then you would have had a Celtics-Lakers moment. But, yeah, that's one of the great ones. And Johnny Most is part of the saga as well.
Yeah, and apparently Havlicek went on to score some 26,000 points in his 16-season NBA
career. Fairly prolific
scorer,
that Havlicek, yes.
And also the one thing I do love about that 65-66 year is I believe it was Red Auerbach's last title as Celtics coach, and he'd won 8 in a row by that time. Is that right, Gary?
Yeah, that was his final year, and obviously Bill Russell as player coach won in his final season in 1968-69, and a lot of people believe that this Celtics team is very reminiscent of the 1969 team, which was a bunch of guys kind of on their final leg, a team not expected to compete, a team that had a kind of mediocre regular season that made a title run. So if the Celtics do win this year, a lot of people compare them to that final Bill Russell team of 1969.
Oh, wow. Bill, do you see that same sort of echo there?
Well, I see some similarities, certainly. It's a little bit hard to compare any team with a team that actually had Bill Russell, because Bill Russell stands head and shoulders above everybody in terms of number of championships accrued as a player coach. He's absolutely unparalleled. On the other hand, one of the things that I think makes this Celtic team particularly interesting, if you look down the roster, there are numbers of guys who can come into a game and change it. Obviously, Kevin Garnett can do that. Obviously, Paul Pierce can do that. Obviously, Ray Allen can do that, shooting from the outside. The other night, remarkably enough, Nate Robinson did that when Rondo went down with a back injury, and this 4-foot-high little guy comes out and scores 12 points in a quarter and turns the game around and gets the Celtics to where they are now. This is, of course, the Celtics at their best. This is exactly the sort of team that they have always been, a team that isn't entirely dependent on one player, great as somebody like Russell or Bird or Havlicek or any of those, kind of the guys whose jerseys are hanging from the rafters have been. The best Celtic teams have always been teams that had a lot of different ways to beat you, and this is certainly one of those teams. And the way they're playing now, they give their fans a lot of hope.
Well, we can't talk about this rivalry without spending time in the 80s with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird heading up both teams. I mean, I was looking back at coverage of the teams at the time, and sportscaster Bryant Gumbel said, quote, "Magic and Larry saved the NBA." Is that, it's kind of what happened, given that the basketball wasn't at its zenith for popularity at the time.
Well, there are a lot of reasons why it wasn't particularly popular. Maybe we don't have to go into all of them, although some of them are spelled D-U-R-U-G-S. But in any case, there was a certain extent to which Larry and Magic were given credit for that. The other thing that, of course, made that a great story was that they'd played against each other in college in perhaps, to that point, the college basketball game that more people had paid attention to than any other. So that was a rivalry that carried over. You're not going to see exactly that sort of, matchup, that sort of kind of breadth of matchup today, but you see a lot of good ones.
Okay. Gary Washburn, out in Los Angeles, what are people saying? I mean, I know what people here are saying. We want the Celtics to sweep, but any sense as to how the series might go in these first couple games at least?
It's just going to be a very close and competitive series. Both teams want to play each other. It's a big rivalry, especially after the 2008 finals where the Celtics kind of manhandled the Lakers, were very physical, and, won in 6 games. So I think it's very competitive, close games. I don't think that there's going to be many blowouts here. There's not going to be many players not step up and play their best. There's going to be just a lot of great basketball to watch. So I give the Celtics an even chance, obviously, to win the series, and they play very well on the road. The Celtics love playing away from Boston for some reason, and so I give them a fighter's chance to win, if not one, both of these games here in Los Angeles.
Gary Washburn, sports writer for the Boston Globe, thank you so much for being with us. Also, Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game as well. I want to go out on just a little bit of sound. This is from 1982, a year the Celts happened to not actually make it to the NBA final, but fans at the Garden started a chant that we all love and want to hear now.
You hear the crowd chanting to the Sixers? Beat L.A.
Beat L.A., that's great. Let's listen.